To order the meeting of Palmer Regular City Council meeting of Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson is out of town with a family obligation. Deputy Mayor Carrington is out of town with a family obligation. Mayor Johnson is sick. So that leaves Councilmember Irby. And there is a quorum, 4-0.
Okay, Councilmember DeVries, can you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that brings us to the approval of the agenda. Approval of the agenda includes approval of the consent agenda in minutes. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Councilmember Best? That's regarding the liquor license? Okay. Do we have support?
I'll second for discussion purposes.
Okay. Yeah, did you want to give a reason? Okay, was there any other further discussion? Yeah, Councilmember Combs?
If it'd be helpful, particularly to you, Councilmember Best, this is, and I was told it's just a pretty extremely simple procedure. It's a matter of expansion of the business. In other words, this is the process they have to go through to put a larger building on their site so that they've got room and they're not standing on top of each other and can provide better service to their customers. As far as the length of service, I don't know if that's been something that's been required in the past, but it's probably a good question. But I know that they were told they had to go through this process and are sitting here. I know that they've been worried about whether or not to go ahead and put out the money to buy that building. So I don't know if that helps you or not.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
And this vote is about moving it to new business. Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
The motion passes. It'll be moved to item J5.
Okay, were there any other changes to the agenda? Okay, is there a motion to approve the agenda, the consent agenda in minutes?
Second, Your Honor.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, now do we need to read it for the record?
Resolution number 14-024, accepting and appropriating the Volunteer Fire Assistance Grant from the State of Alaska Department of Natural Resources Division of Forestry in the amount of $10,000 for the purchase of firefighting hose and Class A fire suppression foam.
Okay, and that brings us to the minutes of the previous meetings. Was there any changes or additions to the previous meetings in our minutes? Can we vote to approve them?
No, that passes under the other vote.
Okay. And that brings us to the special order of business, a proclamation of the Palmer City Council honoring John Riggs for his selfless dedication to our community. Is there anybody?
I don't believe there's anyone here, but if you want to read it.
Okay. A proclamation of the Palmer City Council honoring John Riggs for his selfless dedication to our community. Whereas, as an owner and professional engineer at Great Northern Engineering, Mr. Riggs displayed his commitment to providing excellent service and innovative solutions to the thousands of clients who place their trust in him. And whereas, located in downtown Palmer, Mr. Riggs passionately fulfilled Great Northern Engineering's business motto, dedicated to engineering excellence for over 30 years, and whereas dedicated to bettering our community, Mr. Riggs quietly donated time and money to countless organizations throughout the state and community. And whereas Mr. Riggs, recognizing the importance of our community's youth, was a major sponsor of football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and wrestling. And whereas serving as an influential member of the Economic Development Board from April 2010 to October 2012, Mr. Riggs was part of the development of the board's economic development strategies. And whereas Mr. Riggs was instrumental in development of new lease lots and policy changes involving utility hookups to allow for airport hangar condos, and was a longstanding tenant of the airport, Palmer Municipal Airport. Now, therefore, I, in place of Mayor Delana Johnson, Mayor, and the Palmer City Council, come together to honor John Riggs for his unwavering service and dedication to our community. And it's dedicated this day, Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014.
Thank you. I'll make sure the family receives it.
Okay. That brings us to communication and appearance requests. Is the Palmer Museum of History and Art.
I'm just going to get straight through the basics of, I'm going to approach the visitor center side of the museum and then address the museum side of the afterwards. So thus far, taking totals beginning January 1st of this year through Monday, July 21st, we have a total of 13,671 visitors coming to the Palmer Museum and Visitor Center. Of that number, there's been 11,709 individuals. Those are people that just come off of the street, are driving their RVs, or have rented a vehicle, or are visitors, relatives from locals. 1,962 were tour operators. And comparing that to 2013, now the 2013 number is for the entire month of, through the entire month of July. So it is going to be slightly higher. It seems like we're on track. This is not taking into account that we have about six tours that are scheduled through the rest of the month. So the numbers will go up. We have increased by one bus company. Princess Cruises returned to Palmer this year. They come every Friday. So monthly traffic, April, as you know, is winter month, so the numbers are very low, 380. And then this year in May, we actually did 300 visitors more than last year. So that is surprisingly optimistic and proud. June is a little bit lower than last year, but not by much. And then July looks like we're doing very well, and I anticipate us actually exceeding last year's number. So if we take a breakdown on the average of the week, I chose Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, just to give you an idea of the traffic flow that comes into the museum. Mondays and Wednesdays are, as expected, relatively low, and the things start to pick up Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Fridays predominantly in the summer due to colony, due to the Friday fling. In June because of colony days, but I'd like you to notice that in July it is also very high, and that is largely in part to the Palmer Midsummer Garden Art Fair. So for the museum side of things, this is our third year doing the Palmer Art Walk. This year we have 15 participating downtown Palmer businesses. The art walk has definitely increased attendance at the museum, as also as build awareness of what we do in Palmer. Because we have local businesses participating in organizations, it also increases traffic flow in the downtown Palmer area, which I think is very positive. The art walk is starting to get a momentum. A lot of people have kind of come accustomed to it happening. In fact, I do get a lot of phone calls from people in Wasilla that are asked about the Palmer art walk. So I definitely think we have a heads up over Wasilla, which is kind of a nice thing. Through the art walk, we've developed new relationships, not only with local businesses and organizations, as well as local artists, which I think is important because we really do want to make sure we maintain a strong relationship with our local artists, as well as it helps increase awareness about their work, which allows them to continue doing what they do, which is great. Also, which I didn't put on here, this year we actually have an art walk app. It is free. It was sponsored by First National Bank of Alaska, and it's helped a lot for people who don't necessarily like to carry the passport or want to know way ahead of time what we're doing. So we've been trying to promote that, and it's kind of a nice facet of the program. Because of the art walk, we have increased visitor attendance in the wintertime. In January, February, March, and April, you can see a significant contribution to attendance. In January, we tried something new. The art walk took a rest from the local businesses to give them a time to recoup. And we did a studio walk, which was very popular. And it looks like because of the relationship we established with those artists, we're going to continue to do that every January. This will allow 1 month for local businesses and organizations to sign up for the art walk and give them a break after the holidays. So inside the museum, we've made some changes. If any of you have been there this summer so far, you've noticed it was a little snug. We did get our new display pedestals and panels, which was from a grant that we were given from the Alaska State Museums last year. We started using them in December, and they've been quite popular. They've created a more professional look to the interior of the museum and have allowed us to have more dynamic appeal to visitors. The pedestals are designed to be displayed individually on bases that have a small little platform, or to be configured in a zigzag or triangular formation using pegs that allow them to interlock. And it's really been super helpful, and it allows us to display more than we have before. We've also changed the look of our gift store. Normally, when you go into the museum, to the right is our gift store. Last year, we noticed that there was a lot of congestion in that small space, so we've expanded to the other side of our information desk, and it's helped really increase sales. A lot more people stay, look through. We have a children's section now, which allows for kids who want to just look around, allows their parents to shop, and we're very happy with it. A major change that will happen this fall and by November will be our new display storage cases. We were awarded a Alaska Collections Management Grant for $9,500. We currently have three glass display cases. They're a little old, and they're actually not suitable for proper collections management. So with the grant, we will fabricate new cases that will not only display items at the top. The glass will be a little bit better, allow more light to come through for people to view the objects, but the lower section will be no longer wasted space. There'll be pull-out drawers with acrylic tops on each drawer for us to display our smaller implements, which are currently in storage. So it'll have more of an interactive element, it'll be more attractive, and it'll also help us contribute towards updating and creating a more professional atmosphere. The bases will also be put on casters, which will allow us to reconfigure the space whenever we need to, which is also another positive element. I've handed out a list of our temporary exhibits, and I'll speak about key ingredients, which was here earlier. But most noticeably, we're trying to create exhibits that not only engage the public, but also create a dialogue with them. I feel, since being the director of the museum, since I started here almost 3 years ago, it's really important to not only celebrate our local artists, but to also provide them with inspiration. So all of the temporary exhibits are not always just local art on display. They all have a theme. They usually incorporate an educational component, and at times have been controversial. But in all, we're trying to present the best of not only the Valley, but as well of what's happening in the art world. I think it's important to occasionally bring elements that are from outside of our state to help create a more artistic flow within our state. So most notably, we did host Key Ingredients, American by Food. It was a Smithsonian's Museum on Main Street exhibit. It was a huge recognition for the museum, not only because it was a traveling exhibit designed by the Smithsonian Institute, but we were only one of four museums in the state of Alaska to host it. We did get a lot of the South Central population to come. A lot of people from Anchorage came to see it, Willow, even some people from Talkeetna, even though it is currently in Talkeetna as we speak, left yesterday. We did a lot of press. Alaska Public Media did a little interview with us about it. We were in the Frontiersman and Make a Scene, and we were also in EDN, which was pretty exciting. I think it's important that we had this exhibit, not only because it elevated the kind of material that we present to the public, but because it shows the value of professional traveling exhibits. We did incorporate a exhibition policy plan 2 years ago at the museum, which describes the type of temporary exhibits we host and how we display them. In it, I'm trying very hard to strive to have one outside traveling exhibit, a professional exhibit, to not only allow the public who maybe some people just can't get to Anchorage, to allow them to see a high caliber exhibit. It also allowed us to do partner programming within the community. Most notably, we had a recipe swap at the Colony Inn during the Garden Art Fair. Palmer Historical Society, the Colony Inn, collaborated on it, and it was actually very successful. These type of exhibits are designed for community programming, and we're hoping to get another one in the future. Finally, public programming and community events. We continue to do our Demo Day Fridays, which is in the summertime every Friday. We try to host a demonstration or well-rounded individual who knows knowledge that's really of interest to the public. So this year we have our dog mushing team from Willow, Northern Lights Adventures, and they come, have their dogs on display for people to interact with. They have a variety of equipment on display. It's mostly for tourists, but we do get a lot of locals that come by and like to say hi to the dogs. We also have local agronomist Peggy Hunt, who comes and discusses native plants and how to utilize them. And this summer, we have a new demonstrator, Vince Bergkamp, who does blacksmith demonstrations, and they're extremely popular. In fact, he'll be here on Friday, so if you have nothing to do, come on by. We just completed our most popular and really involved event, the Palmer Midsummer Garden Art Fair. It was on the 12th. We were very fortunate to have been asked by the Palmer Economic Development Authority to take new management over it. They couldn't quite fit into their schedule, didn't have the time to devote to it, so the Palmer Museum was very happy to take it over for them. With the assistance of last year's committee, we were able to have a very successful fair this year. We were also awarded an Alaska State Council of the Arts grant, a community development grant for $3,000. There was only about 15 organizations that received one, so it definitely puts us on the map. The other thing is the grant also illustrates just how important these live interactive art events and music events are to the public. And we clocked in 647 people on that day. That was just 100 shy of Saturday's Colony Days that we had this year. Once again, it illustrates just how popular this event is becoming and what a need there is for it. One of the reasons that helped us get such a wide audience this year was we had a larger budget and a larger audience. You all have our budget from this year for the Garden Art Fair. We spent approximately $11,500, which is really nothing to think about it, but majority of that money went towards the musicians. We do make it a point to pay all of our performers. We actually worked with several art organizations, Valley Fine Arts Association, Valley Arts Alliance, and the Palmer Arts Council. We will continue to work with them, and we hope to have an even bigger and better garden art fair next year. I also would like to thank City of Palmer for being one of the major contributors to that as well, for being a sponsor. So far, everything seems to be going on track. Because we just finished our big event, focusing now more on our remaining temporary exhibits this year. We have a huge project we're working with the Valley Quilters Guild for December. As you all know or aware, next year is the anniversary of the Sister City for Seroma. We will be doing a quilting exhibit in December where the quilters are working together to create a Palmer history quilt. It is our intention for Colony Christmas to have the quilt present at the museum and invite attendees of that event to each put an individual stitch in the quilt to finish it so it can be presented to Seroma delegates next year and truly be a Palmer City quilt, not only illustrating the history of Palmer, but being actually made by Palmer residents. So do you have any questions for me?
Selena, you know that I think you guys are doing a great job over there. And I'm one of those Palmer people that drop in just to learn something because they've made it so nice and easy. How often are you being a partner with or matching up with some other event to kind of highlight the Second Saturday Art Walk, do you think? Or has that just happened and it wasn't really your intention for it? No.
It seems like because we took over the Garden Art Fair, July was the second year we've actually really gotten involved.
It seems like in July with the Garden Art Fair, this is the second year, we've really fused those two events together. Quite often, because I do it every month, it's really difficult for me to partner with another event for the second Saturday. We take an absence in June and December so as not to overshadow or take over Colony Days and Colony Christmas. Just to give you an idea, we started meeting in January for the Garden and Art Fair. And it was definitely a lot of my time. I can't see us, unless it's really a good match, to partner with another event on that occasion.
Any other questions? Councilmember Best? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to reports. The first is the city manager's report.
Okay. In your box and in the email, but you don't have it in front of you, unless you're really good, is my report that at the last meeting, I think council asked for me to do it every 2 weeks. So I was just trying to figure out how I do that best. Well, my best turned out today was on Monday. Maybe I'll shoot for next Friday so we have it to discuss. But there's 4.5 pages of what I've been doing for the last couple weeks. A lot of it now is moving from meeting with the different groups to now taking their ideas and looping back and trying to follow up, making some of those happen. So including that in some of the business side, Sandra Garley and I are making a presentation to a significant retail user of hopefully 10,000 square feet or more to come to town. So we'll see where that goes. We have now set a date for a broker's meeting. So we've taken the initiative, along with the mayor will be there, of us greeting the brokers throughout the valley and trying to get them to come here. So it's a partnership between local banks and us, starting with First Alaska on September 5th. So it's a 7:30 in the morning breakfast meeting where we do a presentation about the city. We say, here are all the businesses and buildings we have in town. Invite them to come and partner with that and putting new people in those businesses. And then we're going to introduce them to the MapMade property. And we contacted the Fred Meyer to see if how they're going to broker the existing building. So a lot of square feet, 60,000 square feet of retail. We'd like to fill that up before they even leave the building. And we think that brokers are the way to do that. In addition, at the airport, a lot of things going on. And it's in the report, but just so I'll cover and then I'll stop. We had the meeting with all of the staff, the FAA Airports Division, and going over a lot of the issues that we thought we'd had completely resolved, and we're getting it in writing about frangible fence, how to deal with things like the nutrition center and our leases there. And while we've been doing that, then we talked to them about new partnerships. And probably the one that we're most excited about that Jeff's working on is something with North Dakota State and potentially a lighted helipad here. So we'd be one of just a handful in the country that the FAA would pay for. So those are most of the things I'd encourage you, and I'll try to, no, I will get it out earlier so we can talk about each time whatever questions, but it's in your box on your computer and maybe at next meet if there's questions. In addition to that, because I hadn't done it the last meeting, it's in your box, the construction update. So at the next meeting, we can cover those. So it's busy. There's a lot of things happening. We hope to do some more partnerships with the museum and the arts, and particularly with Palmer Arts Council, where we hoping that through a public-private partnership that we'll have a new community performance venue here shortly. You know, within the month or so. That's it.
The city clerk's report.
Madam Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have a question, please. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the report, but I think it was 3 months before Doug resigned and left. There was a report that we had gotten, I can't remember, it was like goals and objectives or something. You remember it had each department and it had so many items on there that we wanted to be sure that they were addressed or how they were going to be addressed before he left. And I would like to have an update on that. I can't remember all of the things that were on there. I knew like the assessments were on there and, you know, a few things like that. So We'll
put that in the packet for the next one. And the city clerk provides us a list of all the things that have been questions on staff. I've been working through that. That may be what you're talking about. Then we've asked that in your coming planning, and we're just proposing different times that we do the strategic plan, and that will also have some of those goals on it. But at the next meeting, I'll pull out that list of all the questions we'll update, because I think that's where the questions you had on it.
Clerk, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, great. Thank you.
Were there any other questions of the manager? Okay, that brings us to the city clerk's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The nominating period for council members is open right now and closes on August 1st at 4 p.m. The nominating petitions are available in my office, or you can download them online. There are two upcoming special meetings, one on July 9th at 6 p.m. and one on August 5th at 6 p.m. That's really all I have this evening.
I think she meant the 29th. Yeah, 29th. Okay.
I was looking right at it, too. I don't know why I said that.
And August 5th. Right?
August 5th.
Okay. Thank you.
The next two Tuesdays.
Any other questions of the clerk?
Your Honor, one of the things the city council had done at least the last 2 years, I know, was set some goals and objectives for ourselves, and one of those was customer service. And I think there was an incident that probably we weren't practicing our customer service as highly in the last few days that we should have been. So I was wondering maybe if the clerk can bring those back forward to the city council as well as to the administration, and then on down to the employees to be sure that we are amplifying the customer service we want to be shown on behalf of the city of Palmer. Thank you.
I'll second that. Any other questions? That brings us to the mayor's report. Mayor Johnson is ill this evening, and I have nothing to report. So that brings us to the city attorney's report.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. Nothing to report this evening.
OK, Okay, that brings us to audience participation. Audience participation is a time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes if you're representing yourself, or 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open.
Name is Eugene Haberman, H-A-B as in Bobby, E-R-M-A-N. I represent myself.
Okay, can we get you to sign in, please?
I just want to go straight to here. Please, let's not cut my time any further than
three minutes.
We
always start it after signing. So
can we not, can I just focus on what I have to say? Because this is just distracting me. Okay. Okay, now, number one, you got a resolution that you've got under resolution of 14-022 and dealing with proposition number one and proposition number two. You don't holding it for public hearing, you're holding it for a vote and no public hearing. Now, that's dealing with charter amendments going before the amendments going to the charter. Am I reading this correctly? Please correct me if I'm not, if I'm wrong. I appreciate that. In the case of Anchorage, as you're aware that I follow public process, open meetings laws, and laws, state laws pertaining to the public's right to be heard, reasonable opportunity to be heard at public meetings. I'll give you an example. In the case of Anchorage, when they have something going before the ballot, in these cases you're looking for something to go before the ballot for the voters to vote, they take the procedure of adopting, going for public hearing, putting an ordinance for such and such, will go for public hearing, allows for introduction, like you'd normally do for a public hearing, and then another period where a day is scheduled for public hearing. This approach you're taking is fast-track approach and not allowing a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard on this issue. And please note, in a previous meeting, you had proceeded and discussed this issue and went back to have a rewrite on this at a previous meeting where the public was not involved, and it should have gone into a public hearing process. I'm very much concerned about that, and I hope you will correct that by stopping it and proceeding with the appropriate way of attaching to a normal public hearing process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Irby and City Council members. My name is Mike Malevsky. I live in the city of Palmer, and I'm going to wear a hat perhaps different than one that I've spoken to you more recently. I serve on the board of directors of the Alaska Humanities Forum. It's a statewide group, a multi-million dollar operation, and the CEO is a very well-known individual, at least in Olympic circles, Nina Kempel, former cross-country skier. She also serves on the U.S. Olympic Committee at the present time. I mention this because I had a chance to have dinner with Nina and the majority of her staff. They were out here to visit the museum. The Alaska Humanities Forum was very happy to be a participant in the funding of that traveling Smithsonian exhibit around the state of Alaska. And more importantly, we review and fund a whole variety of different programs, projects, book writings, etc. The reason why I mention it is because although I live in the city of Palmer, and we don't have specifically geographic representation on that board, I do tend to represent the valley. So I'm always on the lookout for ideas that could be turned into projects that then would be submitted and potentially funded by the group. It's one point I wanted to make. A second point, though, I think that is as important, is that during that dinner, a number of the members, in fact, the majority of them, in one way or another, expressed the positive experience they were having here in the city of Palmer. Of course, it was a kind of a sunny day. Happened to be a Friday. Friday Fling was going. They visited a museum. Some had been here one or two times before. But generally speaking, and that was unsolicited, I listened, and they liked Palmer, and they described it in very often the terms that we tend to use, a walkable community. As they came in, they could park and they could go around and all the rest of those things that we enjoy when we live here in Palmer. I wanted to share that with you to say that there was a group, a fairly sophisticated group, that could identify Palmer in that way. So once again, congratulate the city for its role in everything that's been done, and ask from your own position as you look about and you're looking at all the variety of different projects that come about, there may be some that should be brought to the attention of the Alaska Humanities Forum. And then if you're not particularly familiar with the detail of everything that we do, at some point it might be interesting for us to have Nina come out and share some of that, and I think it would be interesting to you. So thank you.
Was there any other comments? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to action memoranda. And that's the first one, action memorandum 14-051, authorize the city manager to execute change order number one for East Dolphin Avenue water system improvements with Dirtworks Incorporated in the amount of $415,122.26. Okay, has been moved and seconded. Is there a discussion? No discussion, then that brings us to a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. That brings us to action memorandum 14-052, authorize the city manager to execute change order number two for trailhead parking construction with Dirtworks Incorporated in the amount of $29,294.38.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Madam Clerk, can we have a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, action memorandum 14-054, authorize the city manager to enter into a sole source procurement and execute a contract with Badger Meter Incorporated for Badger water meters and supplies in the amount of $26,243.38. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Madam Clerk, please call the roll call vote.
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And action memorandum 14-056, City Council statement of non-objection to liquor license number 119 for Palmer City Ale House and approval of the restaurant designation permit located at 320 East Dahlia Avenue, Palmer.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Madam Clerk, can you call for the roll call?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, and that brings us to item five, which was from the consent agenda. Action memorandum 14-058, authorized placement of a temporary building for more than 6 months on property located at 139 West Arctic Avenue for Brouhaha Cafe, or coffee. Did we?
Is there a motion?
Yeah, is there a motion?
I move that we approve action memorandum number 14-058.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeVries.
I'm sure Councilman Best wants to say something, but I just wanted to point out that on the building permit, the address is incorrect. All the other things say West Arctic, which I believe is what it is, but the building permit says East Arctic. And so just so there's clarification there for the, so when it, if the building permit is issued, that it's issued for the correct address.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for noting that. Is there any other discussion? Yeah, Councilmember Best.
Mr. Mayor?
City Manager?
So the answer is right now, no, there's not. What the applicants requested is 5 years in this case, and if you read the action memorandum, they've been in the place for a number of years, well over 5 years. I think that it is I think it's important that the Planning Commission look at, and this is not the only one that we've had temporary for an extended period. I think there does need to be a discussion and a procedure for limiting the number of years or months on a temporary building, and particularly for the process of when there are a need for landscape requirements or review of, for example, things like queues for cars, and that the way we have it historically and right now is that on the temporary buildings, we don't put the same kinds of requirements that we would put on a regular building permit. In this case, given the history of the business on the site, it's acceptable to us to be an extended period. They've asked for 5 years. It was an oversight that we didn't put a time period for what we think was appropriate in there. But I think that the whole issue should go back to the Planning Commission. In this case, you know, we're comfortable in the interim of agreeing with the applicant for 5 years, but that this should be, my recommendation is that you remand it back to the Planning Commission to deal with all of the temporary permits. Because I don't think even the people that have temporary buildings are interested in doing anything less than what a permanent structure would be in terms of landscaping and transportation, things like parking and creating safe areas. If there was something clearly unsafe like a issue of blocking a view on a corner, that we would take, you know, we'd go to them and say that's not acceptable. But I think there should be a procedure, and a recommendation is to send it to the Planning Commission.
Your Honor, does there need to be support from the council, or should the city manager can just take that up under his own direction to take it to the planning and zoning, or do we need some verbal support from the city council to do that, or can he
city
just
clerk?
Do it?
I think that it sounds like two different issues. You
right.
would first address this this legislation, mm-hmm. and then the council, yes, would make a motion to direct that this code language and the issues that Mr. Hannon spoke of be referred to the commission.
Address the motion that's on the floor first, which is the approval.
Mr. Mayor.
City Manager.
If I may, can I ask Sandra Garley, our Community Development Director, just for your decision on this one to
sure.
address council?
Thank you. I just wanted to make one point of clarification. The building permit that's there that is on East Arctic is the one that was issued in 1995. And so we have not issued a building permit for this new structure, and we won't do so unless you approve the placement there. And it may be that...
for 30 years.
Yeah. Right. So I just thought that was, yeah. They issued it originally for that address, but the property description is correct.
Any other questions or discussion? Councilmember Best. City Attorney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor,
The problem you have with the temporary permit ordinance is that it contains no standards.
That's correct.
And I think that would leave you with the choice of exercising your reasonable good faith discretion based on the your good offices. And if you so desire to limit the time, you could do that. But that's a policy call on your part. I don't know if the manager has any other information to supplement my comments with on that.
Any further questions or discussion? Madam Clerk, can you call the roll call?
Councilmember Best? Correct. I'm sorry, I did not understand your last statement.
Okay. Well, did you have any further comments or questions or anything that you wanted to add to the action memorandum?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Best.
Deputy Mayor.
Councilmember Combs?
If I'm understanding this right, I do understand where you're coming from, Councilmember Best. However, we would definitely have to put in any instructions because this is, from my understanding, kind of a first to put that that kind of limitation. It's not really a limitation, but that kind of being that specific for a temporary building. We'd have to definitely make sure that there was a meticulous follow-up anyway on procedure, what was to be needed. I think that's probably one of the reasons why they don't have a 5-year or a 2-year thing already, because then it's not in somebody's tickler file. But am I understanding that correctly? If we vote to put this 5 years in here, then that will be a part of the process that's going to be reviewed?
Madam Clerk.
Yes, that is correct. And I do believe that it would be then community development. I know that one of the Ms. Garley's staff members does on occasion send me lists of things that should come before the council, like, for instance, something that's now 5 years out. She sends that to me, and she is very good about keeping track of that. And I would think that in the meantime, the planning and zoning would deal with the issue.
Okay, was there any other discussion or questions or amendments?
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you. I guess with my understanding, I'm going to be a yes vote on this, but my understanding, I guess, would be that when the planning and zoning comes back to us and they say they recommend that all of temporary buildings be, and I wouldn't anticipate they would, but there would be a minimum of 10 years, then at this time, would that automatically give them 10 years, or would they need to come back at the end of 5 years? I can have the attorney maybe address that, please.
And Mr. Attorney?
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you. Maybe a little help from Sandra Garley after I make my comment, but my position on that would be if the ordinance authorizes a 10-year placement of a temporary building, which is probably more than temporary, and there's an approval of the council for 5 years, I would submit that they would need to go through a new application process to increase the time period for the temporary building.
I would have been temporary, I guess. Thank you.
Any further discussion, questions, or amendments? Councilmember Combs.
I'm not entirely opposed to the five-year thing, but is making this one applicant, the way I understand, this is the procedure that's been used for years and years. It's very common for all these nice people that make our coffee that we absolutely have to have every morning. And I'm a little concerned about putting, to me, basically a restriction of 5 years on it, when everybody else that's come and said, hey, I want to make my coffee shop or whatever is concerned or treated as a temporary building prior to this, that they would have to reapply in 5 years. So that I'm just a little concerned about that, especially after listening to that description, of what would have to happen if planning and zoning comes back and says we're going to make rules, we're not even going to call them temporary anymore, and so they would fall in all under all these new rules, but they would have to reapply. That sounds a little less friendly to me.
Okay, city manager.
Let me offer this kind of perspective. It's hard under any thinking to think that something 5 years is temporary. We have a number of them that have fallen under this code. I think even the applicants here, but think of the other place would be like schools that have them. There may be a place for temporary structures. I don't think it's anywhere close to 5 years. The reason why I support, and I think staff supports the concept on this one, they've been there a long time. They recommended 5 years. I go with their recommendation. I don't think something is temporary at 5 years. And I think that what the community needs to do and you need to do is to get the Planning Commission to get input from people and talk, how do we deal with these? And it's not so much going to be about this coffee stand, but it would apply to that. But it's other ones like school districts. When we have a number of temporary buildings, what happens to the building codes in those? And what happens to the condition? I think that's worthy of a public discussion. I think being very business friendly in this case, they want to get going, to spend some money. They've been there. I think their expectation was to stay there. I don't want to upend that cart necessarily, but I think that as standards, we do need to talk about this.
And Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, thank you, members of the council. The question of imposing a five-year condition and its reasonableness is one that I think that Councilmember Combs is asking, and it would seem, if you just apply objective criteria to the concept in front of you, that you're granting a temporary building for 5 years. 5 years appears eminently reasonable.
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeBrees.
Thank you. I first of all want to thank the applicants for helping us to realize that we have a big hole in our code, and so it's something we need to address. But let me jump on the other side of the fence and say, if the planning and zoning comes back to the city of Palmer and the city council decides that 2 years is the most that any temporary building can be there, we have grandfathered them in for 5 years. And so on that situation, it's a plus for you that we approve this motion. Okay.
Councilmember Combs.
No, I was going
to. Oh, okay. Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you, members of the council. Another question is, what's the arrangement these, and not speaking to the applicant, but what's the arrangement these temporary structures have with the land they're on? Do they have a lease? Are there sales tax implications? And these are all things that would come up in an application process.
Any further comments or questions? So we're ready to vote on the main amendment or the amendment.
Yes.
Amendment number one. Madam Clerk, can you call a roll call?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And was there any discussion on the amended action memorandum? So we're ready for a vote on that. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll call vote?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you.
And that brings us up to new business. Does everyone take a 5-minute break, or are we okay?
Because I want to talk to the attorney.
Sure. We're going to take a 5-minute break. We'll see you in five. July 22nd, 2014, back to order. That brings us, we're at new business, resolution number 14-022. Submitting the question of amending Charter Section 1.10, Notice to City of Claim for Injuries, and Charter Section 4.8, Council Action, to the City's qualified voters at the October 7th, 2014 City of Palmer election, IM 14-053. Is there discussion, or does anyone wish to receive a staff report?
Motion first.
Well, yeah, is there a motion to adopt?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, or does anyone wish to receive a staff report?
Your Honor.
Councilmember DeVries?
I would like to hear, we had a party from the audience that made some questions. I'd like to hear from the attorney, city manager, city clerk, whoever, regarding if the procedure has been followed and even what the procedure is and that kind of thing. So thank you.
Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor and Council, thank you. We appreciate Mr. Haberman's diligence in bringing issues forward to us, and it's always helpful when the public is attentive, as he is. And however, in this case, I don't think he's correct that there are problems with the procedure. And the answer to that question is fairly simple. First of all, Palmer is a home rule municipality that can adopt procedures as it determines, with limited exceptions in Title 29, which is one of prohibition, not one of limitation. Resolution is not an ordinance, and this goes before the voters, and the clerk provides substantial public notice to the voters when she's preparing for the election. So this is a practice that the City of Palmer, I think, has engaged in from the dawn of Palmer time, and it fulfills the requirements for public notice, and the public will get ample notice of these provisions and ample opportunity to speak to it. And what better opportunity is the public does the public have to do that than at a vote that's presented to them by the city.
Was there any further discussion or questions?
Yeah.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. When we discussed this at the last meeting where this was, I think we discussed the fact of, you know, having some kind of explanation regarding, because when you just bare-faced real this, it seems like it is removing options for the public and for employees, et cetera. And so I guess I was expecting maybe that to be in with this resolution, but I didn't see that. So I was wondering if somebody could address that, please. Thank you.
Mr. Attorney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, Council, thank you. We haven't prepared it yet, is the simple and direct answer.
Any further discussion or questions? Councilmember Best? Okay, thank you. Any other further comments or questions? So, Madam Clerk, can you call the roll call vote?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, that brings us to resolution number 14-023, establishing the Palmer Water Supply Study and Pump and Control Improvements Project as the City of Palmer's number one state capital project priority for state fiscal year 2016, IM 14-054. Is there a motion to adopt?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Combs.
I'm trying to understand, from the summary statement, you're saying that the resolution is necessary on this application for a matching grant. I guess I have to go on record. We've had as our number one capital improvement project the finishing of the well over a decade now of the shared water improvement project and stuff like that. I really hate to see it replaced by anything because I feel so strongly about the emphasis needs to be on finishing some things that we've started. The other side of that coin, however, is I do know that this is really important. I would just urge the council members when they're considering this to maybe make a mental note that we don't just start swapping it out and we lose sight of what I know for a fact, at least for the last 3 or 4 years, we've kept right in there in the number one slot. And we've done so, in my opinion, to keep our eyes on the fact that it's something that was started, it's something that's not been finished, and not for just a short period of time. Thank you.
City Manager.
Mr. Mayor and Council, there's no disagreement that we need to complete the shared project. Ideally, the DEC timing would correspond with when you're going to do your capital improvement plans, and we're a couple meetings out from you doing that in anticipation of the budget and to put together the legislative priority list. You know, the issue of water, which is a system-wide, a challenge for us, and of getting a study where we can figure out where another well could go is so important, even to the shared area, that if something happens to our water system, we need that information. And we think that this scores very well with the state, but not lessening. You know, I'm looking at what we've had is the draft 5-year capital program, and we've done pretty well off of that. So we'll keep Sherrod on there as our highest priority in the public work side. But in this one, we're asking when we go to the state for DEC to this is something I think can get traction with everywhere to say it's about the protection of our overall water system. But and you will see Sherrod on your draft capital improvement list right at the top.
Okay, any further discussion or questions? Madam Clerk, can you please call the roll call vote?
Councilmember Best? Councilmember Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Irby?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, that brings us to record of items placed on the table.
The museum information.
Okay, and that brings us to the second audience participation. Audience participation is a time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes if you're representing yourself or 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open.
Eugene Haberman, Haberman. Representing myself. First, I'd like to start out with saying this. Many of you also have been aware that I've been following the public process, not just here with the City of Palmer, but the City of Houston, covering communities in Big Lake, Anchorage, particularly where it started, the Mattsu Borough, attending Transportation Advisory Board meetings, Port Commission meetings in Borough, and so forth. in many ways, you're doing a very good job, okay? He's always good to start out and say that, okay? I stress this to the clerk's role here. Many things that she has done and I've witnessed from the beginning is incredibly great to see. We're in Anchorage, it's chaos as far as laws pertaining to the Open Meetings Act and the laws pertaining to the public's right to be heard at public meetings. My work started as a result of an election in Anchorage on April 3rd, 2012, in which the next day it was announced many people couldn't have a ballot to vote. They ran out of ballots even though they started with an independent investigation of Anchorage officials investigating that election, the public process. That's where it all started. I'm still talking about an issue involving an election. I didn't know it would come to this, but this vote is here. You fast-track this. The public has been bypassed in the process when you put this on the ballot. The public needs to be involved before you make decisions like this. You did not do that. In Anchorage, fortunately, they at least do that to some degree. They set it up as a public hearing ordinance. What you had was not an introduction date for this that was discussed here, so it even cuts down the time of being aware of what you were doing. So in all, I would encourage you tonight put out a motion reconsideration of what you did on that action item that I was stressing to today at this meeting to bring it to the appropriate process for a public hearing. And when you do a public hearing, each amendment should be two separate public hearing ordinances. Thank you.
Anyone else for audience participation? Seeing none, that brings us to council member comments. Council member Combs.
Thank you. I've spent a good chunk of, several days in the last couple of weeks, most of today doing this. So the only thing I'll talk about is the Palmer Pride Picnic. One of the things I did was and I thank our Radio Free Palmer for having me on at 8 o'clock this morning. I'll be also extending an invitation to folks to attend the picnic on Country Legends Radio on Thursday morning. I'd just like to remind everybody that this is the 25th anniversary of this picnic. There'll be something for everybody. I've been looking through a lot of the old pictures, and I just enjoy doing that because you see how much everybody's enjoying being there with family, friends, new friends, old friends. We'll have the Summer Youth Band, of course, they're playing. That's always terrific. We're going to have a lot of fun at the noodle shoot. More and more people understand it. More and more people like it, and we're going to keep converting folks to that. So one exciting new thing for Palmer Pride this year is Ready Recyclables will be there. Not only with information, but to take care of recycling absolutely everything that they possibly can in sight. So I'm particularly pleased with that, and I've got several of my people that are just jumping up and down about that. So as I've always said, there's just never been a shortage of willing hands and generous hearts here in Palmer, and this event just gives us a reason to kind of focus on that and celebrate it all in one day with our friends and neighbors and some visitors and businesses alike. So thank you, and I'll see you on Friday, especially you, Councilmember Best. You're going to be grilling. Thanks.
Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. Can I ask the clerk, did we make a motion to direct the city manager to go to take that item to planning and zoning?
You did not.
Okay. Is it appropriate at this time, or should I just ask for support and do it that way? How would you prefer to have it done?
Either way is you can do, because it's something that comes back before the council. Either way is appropriate.
Okay.
I'll support it.
Okay. So I'll just do it as a support thing then. Okay. I know you know you've already got it written down, and so does Sandra, but I didn't know if we needed to have something on the record. And I just wanted to say, Mr. Mayor, you ran a very good meeting tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Best. Okay, and then I pretty much just want to echo what Councilmember Best said. So without any further business, this meeting's adjourned.